shall we pray. Heavenly Father, for the sake of those who might hear this tape or those who might not understand to whom we address ourselves or sing when we say Jesus is here, we are talking concerning that one who came to Paul in the pillar of fire, who identified himself as Jehovah's Savior. The same one that Brother Branham said, that one left the flesh and went back to the pillar of fire that Paul saw. And that same one that came to Paul delivering the word is here revealing the word. And we're speaking directly to you, O great God, known as Jehovah Elohim, whose only begotten Son took on that human form, and you incarnated yourself in him, then left him, and he died upon Calvary's cross, shedding his blood, and you raised him and set him at your own right hand. Even now we know he's on the throne. And we speak to you in his name and through his name, even the name Jesus our Lord, which indeed he is as head of the church. And we worship you this morning and ask you, Lord, that you direct our thoughts in proper channels concerning yourself, concerning your word, that we may have the revelation which is of you, and thereby worship you in spirit and in truth, and receive from you those promises which now no longer are made void by the traditions and creeds of men, but are actually ours, and we walk in them, we live in them. And by your grace and goodness, Lord, and in power, we will manifest them. Help us this morning, therefore, to this end. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're number 19, I believe it is, in leadership. And you'll notice at every turn in this message, which message is to the full gospel businessmen, Brother Branham turns every thought on his subject of leadership to Brother Branham's ministry, which is to declare the presence of God, and by that person of eternal life vindicating him, he restores the word to the original gospel of Paul, and thereby restores the fellowship of individuals with God. On the one hand, the judging God exonerates the elected bride, and the other hand condemns the world. In this last message Brother Branham preached, we find absolutely, as in all other messages, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, that the Lord himself has descended with the shout, which is a message, the voice of the archangel and trump of God, in order that we may, by that same Holy Spirit, which is God himself, according to Ephesians 1:17, we may be taken up to the rapture, in the rapture to the wedding supper, wherein that same Spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us in the Lamb, and we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now this is actually delineated upon again, as we saw, in 2 Thessalonians as it describes it, where Paul is speaking in verse 7, the first chapter, and you are a troubled rest with us, as Brother Branham correctly used the term under the seventh seal, was relaxation. Relax with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now you'll notice at this particular time, I believe that Paul is in prison. I believe he's under restraint. There's really nothing he can do about any situation whatsoever, so he says relax. It's strange that he should be the great psychologist and psychiatrist of all time, but full of the Holy Ghost, he is bringing us the truth. When there's nothing you can do about it, you might as well relax. Just roll with the punches. Whatever God wants is going to be done. So he's stating the time at the end time, which will parallel his time, which of course the squeeze is going to come down. He said, you relax at that time when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with these mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the power of his glory, when he shall have come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So he's looking forward to the time of the restoration of the word of Almighty God, which has to come according to Peter in the third chapter of the book of Acts, also in other scriptures as in Joel, and right on down the line. This word must be restored, or there cannot be any hope for those who are upon earth at that particular time. And the recognition of the grace and goodness of God is that these people will, of course, believe this gospel as Paul taught it, as it's being retaught, which the evidence is the baptism with the Holy Ghost and being the seed of God. Because all thy children shall be taught of God, and that, of course, is only the true seed and the true children of God. So he says here, wherefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure, his goodness, and the work of faith with power. Now, you will notice in here, talking of that day which is this day, and yet referring to them as though they could come to that day, as so many of them in the first age certainly did. He says, wherefore I pray, the same as he prayed that spirit might come into the church, that God would count you worthy of this calling. Now, there's no way that God can call anybody worthy unless that person is from God himself, because worthiness doesn't have one thing to do with what people are doing. Even as Paul said concerning Abraham, if Abraham were up to glory, having been a wonderful man who lived a good life in the flesh, that's fine, and we appreciate that, but not before God. So, and you'll find in this message of Brother Branham, he nails this into the foreknown and elected, so we're on the real Bible ground here. But Brother Branham is actually going into this in this sermon to the full gospel businessmen. Of course, they don't know it, and we only know it because we are fully aware of his ministry and his teaching from many previous messages. Count you worthy and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Now watch that, the good pleasure of his goodness. That's all by grace, even the work of faith with power. And of course, what you're looking at here is God doing this and proving this, that this is going on in this hour by vindication, which is Matthew 12 and Matthew 4, where Brother Branham said God is obligated to do for the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Spirit, which he did for Israel in the form of a human being, which was God manifest in flesh. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Now Brother Branham mentions the gathering together is by the message. And Paul himself is saying the same thing up here. That this same word restored, identical, as Brother Branham said, just think how wonderful the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. You must never ever forget some of these quotes of Brother Branham. If you do, you're on very slippery and dangerous ground. And notice that he said, you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. And you'll notice the fact of saying that you be not soon shaken in mind. He's letting the people know, not that they're going to be shaken quite soon, although mind you, I'm sure that it happened to some. But he's saying here, give this a long time to wait until whatever time is requisite for it to come to pass. Don't try to bring it to pass. Don't be worried if it doesn't come to pass in your time. There's nothing you can do about it because this is all a matter of grace. See? Or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor letter asked from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now, what he's telling you here is, very simply, that this is thus saith the Lord, and nothing can change it. Now, this is what you're looking at for this hour, too. Nothing can change what has gone on. Now, people are still looking for a couple of false prophets, and they're running wild amongst the messages of people say they're the message, that they believe the message, and anybody can come to discern, anybody can come to pray, anybody can put a little hand upon you. Oh, hallelujah, let's go and get something done. Brother Branham says, stay away from that stuff. Then what are they doing? What are they running to it for? They don't believe the prophet. Their very action proved they're liars. Just like the guy said, oh, I'm not a thief. I'd never touch anything. Just leave something in the open and see what happens to it. The first time there's temptation, prove he's a thief. The first time anybody comes by that's got some little thing that's really irrelevant to what is going on now, because the age of gifts is definitely over. Not that the gifts are gone any more than when justification left, justification was gone, but you put it where it belongs. That's why Brother Branham admired Tommy Osborne. When I talked to Tommy, he said, he laughed. He said, Brother Bill, I don't know a thing about gifts. And he said, really, I'm not interested. He said, but I know this word works. See, the man I feel sorry for him. Here's a man that stood up at Brother Branham's the eulogy given. And he said, we saw God. The man understood it. You're looking at me, aren't you? He wasn't giving Brother Branham credit for being God. He never even gave him credit for being a prophet. As he should have given him credit. If he'd have given him credit, he would have listened. He only listened insofar as the ministry could come forth. But he knew that he'd seen God, like a man standing there like Nicodemus, but not, I would say, in the grace of God, the way Nicodemus was. He said, we know no man can do these things except God be with him. It's impossible. So, here's what you're looking at. You're looking at the fact, even as 2 Peter said, after there comes that revelation and that presence and that dynamic ministry, there's a place in there where pressure begins to come down. And you could begin to feel that pressure, like they did with Brother Branham's quoting, which is positively said, I'm only predicting, I'm not prophesying. How many people left when they thought there was a mistake made about the time out there in Arizona, the hunting of the hogs? There's one fellow, he's gone, he had a nervous breakdown. He's divorced his wife, last I heard. Repudiated everything about the message. He's gone to drugs and everything else. I said, can you find one tape where Brother Branham said he laid pieces of paper down in order to lay out the trailer where the hogs were? You can't find that on a tape. I'm the man that can tell you because he told me. They don't understand what took place out there. See? They go to pieces. They're shaken. You know why? They're jello. They're sand, quicksand. They don't have vertebrae. Whatever it was dissolved. Whatever mind they had toward Christ was a lying mind and a hypocritical mind. Try to understand these things. If you're of God, you stand with God. Don't ask God to stand with you. That's the biggest bunch of nonsense in the world. Stand with God. You don't even have to keep crying for things, this thing and that thing. Just stand with God. Watch what He'll do. Stand with His Word. Learn to have patience and strength of character. Take one at a time. Not try to figure everything out and do everything. Even God is not all things to all men, because all men want things that God does not have in His possession to give, because He's not a perverter. So here's what you're looking at. Brother Branham categorically brought this in view, but they didn't understand it. Now, as a young ruler epitomized and exemplified the religious order of his day, that he could see and recognize God moving, but could not discern to what end God was appearing and vindicating Himself to the people, so today we see the same thing. Very few people would say Brother Branham was of the devil. Now, the man in our town in West Palm Beach, he came from Cleveland. I forget his name at this moment. It doesn't really matter. He said to a woman, he said, I don't want you playing the piano for Mr. Branham. And he said, if you people push me, he said, I'll let you know that and I'll just push right back. He said, because that spirit is a familiar spirit. Here's a man full of the Holy Ghost, so-called talking in tongues, a big shot in the Assemblies of God. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost, the same as the Christian Missionary Alliance did. When the speaking in tongues appeared and the things of God appeared, they branded it all of the devil. And they died. You say, Brother Bale, they're having converts. Converts up to what? Well, you got to figure it out. You won't be one that makes the ark. I just tell you, look in the eye. If I ever preach to you again. Fooled yourself, completely fooled yourselves. Are you here also to fool somebody else? Huh? Serious question, isn't it? I'm not here to fool you for 1 minute. I'm not interested. So Lord Terry's all be gone, buried in the ground. I'm not interested in taking you with me. You'd be fools to be interested in taking me with you. It's no longer sufficient to take the name of Jesus either, because that name is defiled. They don't even know it is. You better take God with you. All right. We see the same thing today with this in mind, the rejection of God because of traditions. Brother Branham then turns to the Exodus of Israel. He leaves the young man because this is the hour of the Exodus. So he has to turn to the Exodus of Israel. And he compares it to our Exodus. So, as Revelation 3 and 20 is fulfilled, you know, we go to Revelation 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. And you know what that's based upon? It's based upon verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, and thereby open the door. Or do you think these verses are just thrown together without any sequence of compatibility, of understanding? Or do the Holy Ghost merely ignorantly throw some scripture together? I repeat to you, verse 20 is based on verse 19. If you can't take the rebuking and chastening to the event, to the end event that you change your mind, there's no way you'll open the door to the one that's knocking. Now, you can open, take the first phrase of verse 19 and says, he loves me, hallelujah, I'll open the door and we'll have a great time supping on creeds and dogmas, on perversion, on death. The crow and the buzzard eat dead things. The eagle eats the living things. As Brother Branham said, the hawk at one time liked live things, but now sits on the wires waiting for a roadkill. Wonderful, isn't it? So he says, I love. And the love is pounding the word with rebuke and chastening. And the zeal that he wants in the church is a mental zeal. Many people don't understand you. People sit here silent because that's how I want you. Go out there and scream. If you got a message, you got something real in your heart, tell somebody, be a witness. Simply sitting here and saying amen doesn't mean one thing because you might not even know what I'm saying. And when the people begin to find out that that preacher is preaching something different from them, they begin to leave. They'll be screaming amen all along. Why were they screaming amen all along and now suddenly leaving? Because they don't know that love is rebuking and pounding the word until the heart is circumcised, and only then and thereby can you love with all your heart. I read it in Deuteronomy 30 and 6. Shall I read it again? Well, certainly I shall read it again. Let's find it. Now, he speaks of the fact of Israel going into captivity. Let's read the whole 30th chapter here. It'll come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse. Left hand, right hand, God right there. God appeared to Moses. God came to Paul. God came to William Branham. Right? Is that right? Is that what Brother Branham said three times? Three people, the same pillar of fire. Is that right? All right, let's read it. It'll come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, and the blessing and the curse which I've set before thee, and thou shalt call into mind among all the nations where the Lord thy God has driven thee, all the churches you're now in, all the creeds, denominations you've suffocated yourself in. And thou shalt return to the Lord thy God and shall obey his voice according to all that I commanded this day. In other words, you're going to get back to the word. Thou and thy children with all thine heart, with all thy soul, you're sold out, live, die, sink, swim, no place else to go. This is it. Finally got back to God. That then the Lord thy God shall will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all nations where the Lord thy God has scattered thee. Won't the rapture take place from every part under high heaven? Huh? All right, here's our example. If any, and if any of thine be driven out to the uttermost parts of heaven, From thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. Isn't that what is said in the book of Revelation concerning the dead coming from the sea and every place else, even back from the gases? Now watch, that's at the end time coming on. At the very end time, just before the big resurrection rapture, the Lord thy God will bring thee in the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul, that thou mayest livest. If this word is not here circumcising your heart, you cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, because you love him according to your own stinking creeds and dogmas and those things that are dead and perpetrated upon you instead of the grace of God. There you are. For they criticize me, they've got no love. That's fine, I don't have any love according to them. I don't love whores. Can't stand them. Can't even stand mouthy women. Women give an honest to God man a complex. Not the sisters in Christ, but women out there. Churches. Verse 19, which I read, many as I love. He loved, he's down there at the door, knocking on doors. Open the door outside the church. When he comes in, it's rebuking and chastening, circumcising the heart. Wanting the people to be zealous, to repent, to change the mind, to get back to his word. Now what's that based upon? That's based upon the verses 14, 15, and so on. I know your works, you're neither hot nor cold, or whether you're cold or hot. Because you're lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I'll vomit you, I'll puke you up, he said, I can't take you. Because thou sayest, I'm rich in creature and goods and need of nothing, and knowest not the wretched, miserable, poor and blind and naked. I've come to give you counsel. How can you counsel anybody to get clothes, to get God's riches, to cover so they don't have the shame of nakedness, to get the Holy Ghost, which they don't have when they claim they got it all? Have you ever tried to convince a person who's deluded or insane that that person is wrong and you're right? Save your breath. You said, why did Brother Branham do this? Because he had to as a witness. Why? Because the Word of God would judge every man according to his age. I don't mean he's chronological, whether you're 15 years old or 45. I'm talking about the seven church ages. And remember, every single message to every age had something for every other age. So no church can possibly slip by and say, well, that ran out. Yes, it's true that the carrier runs out, but that which is carried, which formed the carrier out of the substances which were there, the carrier being as the stalk, the stamens, the pollen, the chaff, carried the life. And the life came on to fullness and a maturity. So since Revelation 3:20 is based upon 3:19, which is based upon 3:14-18, Brother Branham gives us an example of just how few will listen to Revelation 3:20. So we go to page 25, and we read where Brother Branham says, God's calling individual. That's paragraph 171. I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any person, one individual out of 1,000, it may be out of 1,000,000. And he illustrates. As I said a few nights ago, when Israel came up out of Egypt, there were just 2 million people there. And just two million people. And two people went in. One out of 1,000,000. Do you know that? Joshua and Caleb. In Numbers 32 and 11, you'll find that only those over 20 went in. And if they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, that means every single person that left Egypt died and never got in. They had a promise, but they began wandering. And Brother Branham feared the bride, so-called, would do the same thing, and they're doing the same thing. They don't have a clue that who's here. They don't have a clue about the judge. They don't have a clue, and they don't want it. They even invited Brother Gregory to the meeting and said, oh yeah, you're going to explain your point of view. When he got there, they said, shut up, nobody's going to hear from you. That's wonderful love. And they call themselves men who don't lie. I would hope to God if I stood in this pulpit inviting you up here and said, yes, you will have your opportunity, I'd let you have your opportunity. That's the way they are. That's what it's all about. He couldn't wait for the wandering. Brother Branham told Brother Neville on two occasions he's afraid the bride would wander for 40 years in the desert. And they've been doing it. See, where are the springs of water? No place but in the Word. God calling individuals, I stand at the door and knock if any man in person. One individual out of a million. When Israel came up, just two people out of the 2 million got in, Joshua and Caleb. 173, and Jesus, when he was on earth, they said, our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. Now notice they identified themselves with reality. But they themselves could not accept reality when it came. See? In other words, what was good enough for their parents was good enough for them. Our fathers did eat manna. In other words, we're keeping their traditions. We're doing this, that. We know where we're standing. In other words, he said, we're standing back there with our fathers when they stood with Moses. Watch what Jesus said. I know your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're every one of them dead. And Brother Branham said, eternally separated. And that's exactly true. You realize that in this journey right here to the promised land, this is already happening. That's why Brother Branham categorically took us over here to the book of Malachi. In the last chapter, as he read it to us, for behold, the day cometh. Thou shalt burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. And Brother Branham took that right to the lake of fire. He didn't say this is the purging of the earth where no one will remain, as it was in the days of Noah, where they'd populate the earth again by physical propagation. He doesn't say that. He does not say that. He takes it to the lake of fire and he said, then how can you say there's an eternal hell when it says root and branch are burned up? Now you go to the Bible and you're going to find two things mentioned there, roots, branches. And if they're both gone, there's no carrier for the life. It's all gone. It's just like the passenger pigeon. Try to bring it back. There's no way it can be brought back. I said, Brother Branham said, God will repopulate the earth, not by sex, but by creation, when he brings them back. So therefore, at this particular time, whether people want to know it or not, 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter absolutely is being fulfilled in flames of fire, taking judgment on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. This is it. There's no more opportunity to stand before the judge and get vindication or exoneration. The lake of fire is merely the carrying out of the execution of the pronounced judgment based upon the word, the judge being the only infallible source of what the word was intended for and how it is now being used. We know where we're standing. He said everyone is eternally separated. That doesn't mean you're not going to stand before God. It means there's no chance to get to God. And what God holds within himself, all of which he uses for his own. Now watch, Brother Branham immediately goes, and he's talking now about choosing. He's talking about a conduct here. But he's adapted his message, of which a strong sovereignty, because it fits in here. 2 out of 2 million at the time of Moses. How many at the time of Jesus? And that Exodus is just very minor and bare compared to this one. Brother Branham qualified it, classified it. We accept it. But how much did he say about it? Literally nothing. Here is where he goes, and this is where he must go. Now he begins to explain how this 1 out of 1 million, when the sperm comes from the male to the female, there's 1 million eggs come, there's 1 million germs come. Now the figures aren't exactly accurate. There's roughly 250,000 ova, but there's an uncountable number of little filament-like hairs back there that could develop into egg. So you can well say millions. The sperm of the male is in multiplied millions. Now, and out of all of those little germs, if it's from the male cow or the man, it's got to be from the male. Whatever it's from, there are just millions, millions of those germs. He calls them working because they are working. In there's only one of those germs that's ordained to life. For there's one over there fertile to meet it. Now, of course, the egg isn't fertile until the sperm gets to it. The point is, he's saying there's one egg that came down that is raw and living and can be attached, fertilized, and in union bring forth the body commensurate to that life, the body that was foreordained, just the same as the life was. So, all right. His assessment is true. The language may not be as perfect as we want it, but don't worry about it. That's right. Only one egg it'll meet. Just like this body sitting here. And the germ comes from God. Now, just like this body sitting here. And the germ comes from God. Now, he said, there's a body sitting here. There's several, no doubt. And the actual germ that made that body came from God. And because God is spirit, God used a carrier. That's why in one place Brother Branham said God was the first man, Jesus the second, Adam was the third. But he said, you're sitting here, some of you elect, some of you that will not taste death, but you will go in the rapture, that are under my ministry. He said, you sitting here in this body, you are a germ, a little tiny seed that takes a high-powered microscope to see, and then you can only see the carrier. You can't see the life. And there's only one way many times to know what life was in that seed is to plant the seed or all the seeds you've got and watch them come up. And then you can tell by the body what the life was and what the seed was. Now you notice in the scripture that the Bible distinctly says, and we must get this to understand because many people don't understand it. In fact, they don't want to understand it, as far as I am concerned, because there's no way they will understand. They're not qualified to. They don't have reality. And that's the truth because by what they tell me. In Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. And Brother Branham said that breath just wasn't God going puffing air into the man. That was the Holy Ghost. So when did Adam become a living soul? He didn't get his soul until his spirit was in his body. And he was there inanimate. And God breathed in the Holy Ghost. Now, this is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. This is the life of God being generated through all the generations that God wants. And he's going to put them all through man. And it started with Adam. Just on that principle alone, there is no one in his right mind could possibly believe that Cain was the son of Adam. No way. And the Bible qualifies it by saying Eve was the mother of all living, but it doesn't say one thing about Adam being the father of all living. Because he certainly was not. Jesus himself said to the majority of Jews, "You are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you do." And they, understanding serpent's seed, said, "We be not born of fornication," because Eve was a fornicator, producing the two seeds. At that time, she had two eggs which could be fertilized, call them fertile, whatever you want to do, living. In other words, there's a natural election. And even Jesus was granted qualified natural election, for the Bible says he was elect, the same as we are. And Paul says, according to the flesh, Christ came, referring to Israel, particularly the tribe of Judah. Now watch, that little germ. Now, it doesn't have to be a germ from God. It could be the other fellows. But basically, physiologically, biologically, it's the same. See? And watch that little germ. And remember, this germ would be called normally by people sperma, for sperm. I got news for you. If it is a gene of God, it is a spora. Spora come like fungus, flowers. It's not treated the other. Peter said, being born again of uncorruptible spora. But if we're being born again, it would certainly indicate that what was born the second time would have to be identical to the original, or that's a transmigration of souls. Even reincarnation could qualify to agree, but the other would be transmigration of souls. In other words, you could be an ant one time and end up a human being, an A-N-T or A-U-N-T. It wouldn't work. Watch that little germ come up from among all those other germs, millions and millions and millions, wiggle around them, right on past them. Go over here and find that fertile egg, that egg that's ready, and crawl right into it. The rest of them die, and many of them, actually multitudes, can die fighting to penetrate the egg. And there's no way they can do it. That's why Brother Branham said a virgin birth is nothing compared to one of these births. Do you realize that God in his computer infinite mind would have to know every sperm in every male, in every egg, in every woman? 5 billion. People don't believe that, do they? Well, believe what they want to believe. All right. What if it was that way with the church today, one out of a million? There's 5.5 million people, that would be 5,500 people. 5,500. How many people do the Assemblies of God have? 7.5 million around the world. They're in idolatry. Ain't none of them going to make it. You say, Brother Vail, how do you know? Look. Was it vindicated or wasn't it vindicated? Is it vindicated? Shut up. Shut up and put up. Swallow your tongue. Get your mind in your back. Or for God's sake, puke. Either what you got in there or what God put in there. Get rid of one of them. Two people went in, right? Eight people made the ark, right? 7,000 didn't bow the knee, right? And why try to make a 7 million? Because, oh, you got such beautiful hearts. My heart doesn't have a thing to do with God, brother, sister. It's desperately wicked. My mind doesn't have a thing to do with God. Not one part of me. Unless there's that little life gene in there and we make contact. And I can take the rebuke. I can take his love with the whip. You do what you want about it, because I'm going to do what I want about it. Don't worry, and God already knows which way we're going. What if there were just one out of a million? Where'd he be? Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and there few there be that find it. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there'll be to go in thereat. The next question then is, how hard are they trying to find it? Well, the point is, they're not. Well, unless you're predestinated, Brother Branham said, and many there'll be that go in the broad way of destruction. Is that true, Brother Branham? I don't know. I'm just quoting scripture, see? Now listen to it. Now you're ordained to life. All right? Here's a verse of scripture nobody but nobody can get around. Acts 13 and 48. This is one scripture that all the theologians, especially the liberal free thinkers and all the rest of them, hate with a holy passion. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And nobody else did. Every legalist has tried to change this. Every Armenian. I've heard him go so far as to tell me, Brother Vail, I believe in predestination. I believe there's men like Paul. I believe there's men like David, men like Moses, men like Joshua, man over here, man over there. I believe God ordains them. He gives them that privilege that they stand there that they may lead us. Hogwash. I have never heard such unadulterated swill in my life. He's telling me he believes. I don't care what he believes. How many of you heard the Nixon and John F. Kennedy debate on TV? Did you hear it and see it? How many of you hear it? Do you ever hear such crap in your life? I believe, I believe, I believe, and I believe, and I believe. Who cares what they believe? Neither one could do one thing for the country and proved it, because they both became presidents. I don't care what you believe. What's right? Any jackass can ask questions. Any jackass can even propose a theorem, a thesis. Prove it right. Prove it right. When you make your step in the dark and I make my step in the dark, as we die, the eyelids close, the light of the body closes out. Is it to that tunnel of light or tunnel of darkness? Proof. You say, maybe, Brother Bear, what if it just wasn't what we thought? Well, Did anybody else have anything like that? Where's your Hindus? Your big mouth Muslims that talk so much love and they're a bunch of murderers. Their religion is the sword. The people that purport to call on spirits, conjure up the dead, and get a few things right once in a while. Were they like that man that never, ever, ever, ever failed? Well, that wasn't that man. That was God who never failed, because William Branham failed, and I've seen him fail. Because like all of us, he couldn't get all the names right. Oh, he's great at remembering names. But like us, sometimes he put the wrong information on the wrong person. But never, never with the Word of God. Fallible men become infallible prophets through an infallible God. Now you're ordained to light. You see it if you're ordained to see it. If you're not ordained to see it, you won't see it. Jesus said, they have eyes, but they can't see, ears, and they can't hear. How thankful you should be, church. Now remember, he calls them church. Months before that, he said, I don't call you church anymore. Don't even call you saints. I call you bride. You know, strange that there's some people who can actually see predestination. And they don't see it the way Brother Branham taught it. They don't even see it the way it says in Genesis, God being Adam, breath of life, became a living became a living soul. God breathed in Adam the breath of lives is what it was. Made him the progenitor. If you're not ordained, you won't see it. How thankful you should be, church. How you should straighten yourself up from these things. Now, what's he been talking about? Talking to the men about their creeds and dogmas and women about their conduct. And the men with their creeds and dogmas won't straighten up the women with their conduct. So what happens? They leave the world, the word, they open the bars, and the goats get in. They open the bars to their marriage because they're not godly husbands. Why should a woman be godly if her husband's not godly? Oh, we all hear the stories about, oh, dear, sweet little woman. Oh, she was the sweetest Christian, and her husband was a big bum, and he beat her, and he drank, and she just served the Lord and loved the Lord and called him Sweetie Pie, and took all, even Brother Branham talks about it, and took all the abuse, and said, well, my wife's a real Christian. What was a real Christian marrying a bum like him in the first place? Amen. I thought a man was supposed to lead his house as God led his. Think it over. We got some fathers here. We got kids and grandkids. The next few months there are going to be tremendous things, challenges face you, which they will, without a shadow of a doubt. Are you going to go straight to the Word and say, this is what the Word said? Doesn't matter what my dad said, my kids said, my family said, my former preacher said, my wife's relations, anybody else. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm a father, I'm head of this house, I'm going to walk with God. Keep my heart right with God. Get everything out of there that doesn't belong to God. Now remember, God is omniscience and omnipotence and love. We have a part of His omnipotence. We have a part of His omniscience. We have a lot of love, because that's what it's all about. Our hearts having been circumcised to love Him with all of our hearts and our minds. You say, well, I think maybe we should have something else. My Bible tells me in this end time, the gathering together, as Israel has to come out of all nations, those 144,000, we've come out all churches the same way, circumcising our heart by the Word. That love's got to be there, brother, sister. God's Word lies. Now, just get this flat. What I said, I meant. That love in there, by the circumcised heart, is just as fatalistic, and I use the term correctly, because I want to use it on purpose. It is just as fatalistic, meaning foreordained, elected, and predestinated to be there as you, Gene of God, here now. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. See, listen, it does something to you. I'm shouting, be emotional. You take those promises of God. He never, ever made a mistake on one promise. He never took one back. And He never left one unfulfilled and never will. Sure as William Branham came on the scene, standing there when God appeared, Revelation 10:1-7, gathering a bride by the word, just as sure as we're here today, these circumcised hearts will contain that love of God. So what if we don't have it? We could be foolish virgin. That'll satisfy me if that's all I'm ordained for. But if I'm ordained for this, I'll no more miss God than God will miss me. Remember the mother eagle went hunting for the little egg, Brother Branham said, and she found the little eaglet. See? Eyes to see, ears to hear. Now, how thankful you should be. How you should straighten yourself up in these things. How you should be on fire for God. Not lukewarm and not cold. He's talking now in terms of predestination. If you don't think the man is right, let's just go over here to the third chapter. No. To the first chapter of Malachi, the first verse, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. God's word becomes an actual burden. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein have thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, and yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains his heritage waste for the dragons. Isn't that what Paul spoke of over here in the book of Romans? Before the children were born, not having done one thing, I loved one and hated the other. The predestination from way back there, from infinity and eternity. Esau's name on the book of life, but Jacob on the last book of life. He said, I love one. In other words, love is a predestinating love. If you don't think that's true, let's go again to the book of Ephesians. Most everybody reads this wrong, and it should not be read wrong. Let's read it. Chapter 1, verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, period, in love, having predestinated us. Doesn't say He loves you because you became good boys and good girls. We're not talking creeds and dogmas now. We're not talking tradition. We're talking word. And that's how to be on fire for God. The greatest fire is predestination and to understand it. How can a Trinitarian understand predestination? They lie. Because Jesus is not God the Son. He is the Son of God predestinated. William Branham cleared the mystery. We came just like he did. Now some don't even have an intercessor and a mediator. How are you going to pray? How are you going to get to God? I've always preached God had this Son. but not with the clarity I have at the day. And of course, I'm accused of writing the church age book wrong and everything else. They accuse what they want. When you consider the subject of one God, you stay with one God. But then you go to the next chapter on seed, put it together. People today want one of these sausage stuffers. Take some close pins and pin your mouth on the sausage stuffer. Stuff it down you. I'm not trying to feed geese walnuts to make you fat. For Thanksgiving dinner or pate foie gras, by and large livers. If you want it, you can eat it. You do what you want with it. When Brother Branham made the same challenge, he said, I'm eating real good. Don't know about you, but I'm eating real good. On fire for God. Now listen. That your eyes behold what you see, your ears hear, and things you see. Leadership. Oh, right here he's talking about William Branham and the pillar of fire. Thus saith the Lord. God to the people. Leadership. Well, bless God, if God were down here, I'd know it. Oh, yeah, I'd know. In the face of Deuteronomy 18. Then say they're born again. Talking in tongues doesn't fill you with the Holy Ghost. That's just a gift of the Spirit. Here, I got a pen. It's a gift. Hey, who wants it? It's a gift. Nobody caught it. That's not Lee Dale. That's a gift from Lee Dale. Yep. I go a little further. What if I die? And my heart's very good shape. Even an 18-year-old could benefit by it. Tougher nails. That's still just a gift. It's not Lee Dale. He's gone. They don't understand that. Don't understand it. The leadership. These folk are leading everybody right back to Rome. Why did you come here tonight to hear a message like this? I'm branded across the world by the churches as a fanatic. Why'd you come? The Holy Spirit led you here. Oh, no, say some. Oh, no. I came out of curiosity. He still did it. Well, my friends begged me. They promised you a free dinner. He still did it. He knows how to get you. Remember the time he sent bees among the people because they wouldn't move? And the old song says, he does not compel you to go against your will. He just makes you willing to go. Yeah. If God Almighty couldn't make every person there go to that meeting that night, then he sure isn't God who puts forth an effort to get people to go to meetings. But his own prophet said it. He said, I know, God knew before the foundation I'd be here preaching to you people, you'd be here. Then they say they believe sovereignty. Well, they do in their own way. The Holy Spirit led you here. To listen. Woo! To listen? Well, he couldn't help it here. He raised his voice. Circumcised. Deuteronomy 30:6, eh? Huh? Scattered amongst the nations, scattered amongst the churches. I'm calling you forth as my original bride of Ephesus. Now to circumcise your heart? Well, Brother Dale, if I drink this kind of tonic and take that kind of tonic and I fast this number of days and I humble myself and I repent this way and I do that. Now, repenting means to go to somebody and confess some stupid thing you didn't even do or you thought you did and hurt your feelings and all that. Listen, hey, just forget that for now, will you? Give the Word of God a chance to circumcise your heart. Then you'll know the directions to take. Because anything outside the Word of God, and even within the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit, can be pure psychology. Because all psychology has to come from God.
You understand what I'm saying? Because God's responsible for human beings and everything that's here. So he's got a word for everybody and everything. Now, we're not interested just in psychology and psychiatry. Circumcise! Cut away your things of the world. What things of the world? Number one, the men in their creeds and dogmas. If they were correct, their wives would be correct. And the woman now represents the church, so therefore the leaders of the church, the pastors, are false shepherds, according to Jeremiah. Read it sometime. They're false apostles. They're false prophets. When Brother Branham was alive, I think he said there were 17 different versions out there in Tucson alone of what he's preaching. Hey. Cut away your things of the world. Accept the leadership of Jesus Christ, or you'll perish as sure as the world will perish. That's Malachi 1, of course. Now he said, accept the leadership of Jesus Christ. And, of course, he is that word. Now remember, when he is talking of this, he's talking of what? 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a message, with a command, voice of archangel, trump of God. All of these were mysteries until the prophet, vindicated by thus saith the Lord, was the only one that had the right to say it. And I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how inured people are as they were in Israel. The very thought of a woman having a baby by God was the same as having a baby by a god, which made them demigods that were born. And it's the same old crap, corrupt stuff in the temples where the monks were with the women. And they'd get in the young virgins. And they had cellars and doors made to come, and they'd appear to these women, and they'd pretend they were God, have intercourse with them. They'd have babies. They'd call them sons and daughters of God. So when the now virgin birth comes to Israel, say, oh, pew, my God, virgin birth. Oh, boy, pagan, pagan, pagan. Now, William Branham comes. The show is an issue.
Oh, Tony, oh, God, oh, God, oh, boy.
That's a... Where did that skunk come from? My God, a skunk smells sweet. But that... Did you check with any theologian? No theologians can get together as a body and firmly believe together concerning the appearing and concerning the rapture. They're divided. Even when does it take place? Before or after the tribulation? And some even say it takes place after the millennium. Do you think they're going to believe, thus saith the Lord? I'm going to tell you one thing. If the world began to believe Brother Branham, I would walk off. I'd have to. I wouldn't know what to do. But what would I really do? I'd question them and say, who came down? Brother, sister, listen. You don't need to worry. Ain't nobody going to believe this. Unless you are elected, predestinated right to that very word, you'll never get it. How many people believe Noah even when the boat was 4 inches in water? I wonder. The Bible says it didn't cease to rain. And if it weren't for the Bible telling us how the floods came down like one big chunk of ice in liquid form, 40 days, I'd have an idea. They played around the ark and laughed and said, well, it's good for the garden. We can do this. We can do that now. They didn't have a chance, brother, sister, to think any further thought. It was all over. Do you realize after this message I've been preaching out of, there aren't any further thoughts? Do you know it's over? Do you know that Brother Branham commended every single soul unto the leadership of God And he said, our Joshua is the Holy Spirit. There's no great one amongst us. The pillar of fire will lead us into the millennium. They don't believe that. They don't even know about a pillar of fire returning and doing anything. Now, see, cut away your things of the world. Circumcise your heart. Let the God of love come in. The God of predestinating power that chooses one and not another. Listen, cut away. Accept the leadership of Jesus Christ. Now, what does he say about him? He's here in spirit form and he is the Word. Why is he the Word? He's the Word to us because only can the prophet lead him forth in words. He can't show us visions. He can't do any of those things. Vindication only means that God is here backing up the prophet, and you better hear the prophet because the prophet is talking for God. And he's God to you, whether you like it or not. Now, there's lots of things you don't have to like, but the point is, do you take them? What about some of the terrible pills you swallow? What about some of the medicine you hold your nose and gag while you take it? Well, maybe you could gag over this word a bit, but take it. I've learned to do it. Smartest thing I did in my life was to realize, how can a prophet be wrong? Well, I know Bill Branham. Why do you quote the Psalms? Man with 500 wives looking at a beautiful dish. Just purified means she could get pregnant right now with one intercourse. And he takes her, commits adultery, kills her husband, marries her. Huh? Better tell the pillar of fire, whoever you are, pillar of fire, I don't think you should have said that about David being a man after your own heart. What kind of heart you got? Why am I saying this? To prove the hypocrisy that lies in people's hearts. Hypocrites, liars. And I have no record of David even having the pillar of fire. Dreams and visions. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. But I ain't going to listen. I ain't going to listen. See, I don't believe in that. You know something happened to David? He never got over it. They spit on him. He suffered. People died by the thousands for it. And there wasn't a day when his sin wasn't before him. He paid for it. The biggest price is when Nathan came and said, has God ever withheld anything from you, David? He said, no. Whatever I asked, I got. And why didn't you ask? He said, now just a minute, that would have been coveting another man's wife. Ah, yes. But she was a Hebrew girl that married a Hittite. Huh? She shouldn't have done it. I don't care if they're converts. He said, you believe, Brother Vail, that if he'd asked, that's not what Nathan said? Huh? Am I supposed to have other thoughts? Well, he said, maybe he would have gotten him something even far more beautiful. I don't remember Nathan saying that. He's referring to David and Bathsheba. Circumcised. You want a heart full of love? I know I do. If I'm not interested in this stuff out there that takes ecumenism and everything else and throws the dirt under the rug and we're all going to be hail fellows well met and I'll say something different. It's already just believe the prophet. Hogwash. There's millions of people believe Paul right now, but they believe him wrong. They believe them and fight each other. And the Muslims are supposed to believe the first five books of the Bible. They'll kill every Jew they can. And say, hip hurrah, hallelujah, do it. No, I don't want what they got, brother, sister. I don't want what they got. Brother Branham says, you have a choice of conduct. How do you conduct yourself? That's up to you. The word conduct, what does it mean? It means a leading or a guidance. Where are you getting your guidance and leading from, O church? It means management. How are you managing things? Is it the way God wants or not? How do you handle things? How are you controlling? Because that's what conduct means. And I'm going to quote the Apostle Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is there someone in us conducting a life within us? If we had gifts, would he be controlling the gifts as he did with Brother Branham? Because that's what it says over here in the book of Ephesians. No man will ever know the power that God would grant to a man. And that power working in him as long as God was controlling it in the man. They said to Brother Branham, take it off. He said, how can I take it off when I didn't put it on you? Someone said, interpret me my dream. He said, how can I do it? Unless God gives me interpretation, I'd just be guessing. And he preached the whole sermon on presuming, which means to tread, without to walk where you have no authority. And he preached a whole sermon on persevering and going to the end of the trail. And he ends up on this thought of conduct. So he goes back to it. He can't help himself. How do you manage? What's in control? See? Where do you get your leading and your guidance? In other words, the affairs of life are being put in order now for eternity. As it said so often, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. Hogwash. They missed it. They missed it. Only one life will soon be passed. But only what's done according to the Word in the Spirit of God will last. The rest will meet you and haunt you. Yeah. Well, that's as far as we'll go. We'll continue on Saturday, the Lord willing. And we'll be back. This is Brother Branham's farewell message to the world. Shall a man ever preach again? He never, except a little sermon on communion. And that's the way it was. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word of truth and grace and admonishment, Lord, your word of especially rebuke, which we've found to be excitingly wonderful, excitingly energizing, excitingly illuminating. And the circumcision, Lord, to be such as leaving us screaming for more, to just know that we got rid of all these things of the world, the creeds and the dogmas and all these things that people have added, the run of our imagination, the turns of our reasoning and analysis and all these things, our studies, everything gone by the board, which is certainly marvelous. Marvelous indeed. And now left to work at just going to the Word and calmly believing, calming our hearts and our souls and our minds and our bodies to just imbibe under this seventh seal of relaxation. The marvelous, marvelous life-giving Word of God. The marvelous, marvelous Word of life. Which life itself there within us radiating from its own core, that life it being eternal, will bring on an eternal body. Because the born has been born again of the same of which it was born. Yes, that little part of God. Now, Lord, we know that there is a bride going out of here, and by your grace, we count ourselves a part of it on no other grounds than that we were in you. And the proof we have of being in you and a part of you is believing this word right down the line. To take these strong things that Brother Branham said, these things that other people, Lord, have guessed at, especially the rapture was nothing but a mystery to people. One this, one that was said. But then it came as to what it was and what it is, and we're in it. And Lord, that's why we're here this morning, the same as we were there that night he preached, beginning with the rapture, all those last sermons, and we're covering them all. And Lord, we're a part of it by your grace. And not many super knowledge or anything that we desired. But as your prophet said, the Spirit of God led us there. And it was the same Spirit of God that taught us to believe. Now, Lord, seal it off and seal it so deep within there. It becomes the life substance of our minds and souls and even these renegade spirits, if such we have. Until even the body comes in subjection. Not just looking, Lord, to a resurrection or looking to a glorification, but looking for a walk of renewed mind where we can be at peace with you, with ourselves, and our brothers. And to put everything under the blood, and not only under the blood, but to death, and let it rot and decompose and go to nothingness as though it never were there. And in its place, therefore, spring forth the life of God in his profuse and fantastic, marvelous manner. Again we pray, Lord, you heal the sick amongst us. Give victory to all of us, Lord. Tremendous victory, walking in the Spirit, not just living in it. All these things, Lord, we give you glory and give you praise. And just hoping, Lord, that somehow, in some little way, we may glorify your name. Some way be identified, and that little way is a living epistle. Just knowing, Lord, that we're walking in that light. We're not just living in it, saying we believe, but walking in the light, as John said. As he is in the light, having fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us from all sin. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.